eating Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
For the big, I guess this is the 4th of July weekend, before 4th of July, because by the time we do the next show, it'll be after 4th of July.
So. Right.
This is our big 4th of July, patriotic flag waving episode.
Okay.
And I say that because we're going to be talking about White House Down.
It's true.
Because nothing says...
That's got to be patriotic.
Yeah, nothing says the patriotism like, you know, the attack on the White House.
God bless America.
And Melissa McCarthy in the heat. Nothing says patriotism like Melissa McCarthy. There's going to be some news. Actually, we got quite a bit of little news tidbits that we're going to be talking about. DVDs and Blu-rays. But before that, if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can call us at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com or go to facebook.com/FGATM. And if you want to reach me on Twitter and yell at me, you can go to twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm Katie K. Reviews.
That's right. Let's dive into the news here. First, we're going to talk about box office. And I want to let you know, I don't know if you noticed, even though it's warm out, it's summer, I wore pants.
I know, like, long I appreciate pants, that.
Because I legitimately get to do a little bit of a victory dance here.
I know, and I'm glad you wore pants for that. I appreciate that.
I thought of you. So I have to do the dance. I'm right here. Ah.
And he's up. He's up doing the dance. Now, the nice thing is that you're partially blocked. I can't see all of you from our setup here in the studio. So
that's why I didn't give you the full treatment.
Yeah, it's nice.
You did not get that. We are still waiting for the stripper pole to be installed in the magical studio in the sky.
And the kegerator.
The kegerator.
That's telling you.
That would work.
If you get a stripper pole, I get a kegerator.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
All right. But the reason I did my victory dance is because I said Monsters University would win at $75 million. You said $70 million, which is pretty close to.
Yeah.
We were both under a bit. Monsters University won with $82 million, which is really solid.
Yeah, it is. It's more than Brave did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. I was reading about that this week, how the audience really skewed a lot younger than most Pixar movies.
Yeah.
Which is kind of understandable considering what the movie is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it still brought in a huge audience with a bunch of kids instead of, you know, the adults that go and see Pixar movies.
Well, and I think what happens a lot is you get an adult and they'll bring like 10 kids into the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helped. It also helps that it was the Epic has been out for a while,
yep.
But there's kind of been this void of kids' movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had sort of Man of Steel, which you could take kids to, but not that kids' movie.
Yeah. This is a fun, silly kids' movie. It's a great movie for kids.
Yeah. So it did $82 million, which is very good for it because it's also, it's high performing for a Pixar movie. It's high performing, mm-hmm. especially for a Pixar sequel, which they haven't done too many of.
Right.
I think the only Pixar sequel that beat it is Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3, yep, which was like 100 and some million on its opening weekend.
Ridiculous amount of
money. Yeah, it did all right.
Yeah. So there was that. And then World War Z at $66 million, which that was the big surprise.
It did much more than we were expecting.
Yeah.
Woo!
So, I mean, people responded to it. And it's so funny
people
to watch.
People wanted to see Brad Pitt and his zombies. Who knew?
Yeah. But that's what I find so funny about looking at the Monday morning discussion of these things. It's like, is it because of Brad Pitt? Is he a movie star? Was it the concept? Was it the marketing? I don't know. I
it's
think it
the
was
zombies.
Everything. Zombies.
Everybody loves a good zombie.
Zombies, even if there's no blood.
Nah.
Zombies. But yeah, $66 million. Very, very good for World War Z. It kind of, you can hear that collective sigh of relief from Paramount because this was embroiled with problems in production.
Right.
So they didn't know if it was going to make $6 million, let alone 66. And then Man of Steel, this is the thing that's interesting. At $41 million, that's actually a 65% drop-off.
Wow.
Now, these things always happen because you always have a front-loaded thing with midnight premieres and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's obviously a much smaller drop if you just take the Friday, Saturday, Sunday proper.
Still, that's a pretty good drop.
It's pretty steep. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much is going to recover from that because there's so many things that are going to steal from its market. White House Down is, I think, pretty much the same market.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got other movies coming up like Lone Ranger and sort of family, also adult
adventure
audience.
Kind of movies. Yep.
Yeah. So, but still $210 million.
That's not bad.
As of last week. And then it's over $400 million worldwide. So it's doing
nothing
well.
To sneeze at.
It's doing fine.
Yeah.
Then there's, this is the end, and then you kind of just go down to sort of a standard spread. Iron Man still is in the top 10.
Yeah.
403 million.
There
it's
you go.
Cracked 400 million domestically, which is
it
impressive.
Is interesting looking at what's still in the top 10. I mean, Fast and Furious 6 is still number 6.
Yeah.
And that's been out there for a while.
That's impressive.
The Star other one, Trek is still there.
Star Trek's there. It's eking off, and it's doing much better overseas than the last one. So,
well, that's good.
Ultimately, because the last one didn't do very well overseas.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's a good Hollywood's having a good summer. And then finally, The Bling Ring was the only thing. It came out at $2 million, which isn't bad at 11th place. Not
for
bad
a movie for like that coming out in the summer. That's not bad at all.
No, it's not
really.
Yeah. So that's the box office, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Christian Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's talk a little bit about news. You had found this little thing about World War Z.
Yeah, and that's interesting. You know, we just finished talking about the box office and the amount that World War Z took in. Now, there was an interesting little experiment that Paramount did with this movie, and they made an offer in 4 or 5 different theaters that you could get the mega ticket.
Yeah.
And you could see the movie a couple days early, and you'd get popcorn and soda, you'd get the DVD when it comes out, you'd get your 3D glasses to take home, and a poster, and a couple of things like that, all for $50.
Yeah.
So you're paying $50 to see a movie, but you're bringing home some stuff, and you're seeing it early, and apparently 4 of the 5 theaters, I think, completely sold out, and one was 80% full.
Yeah, I was curious because I was actually trying to find out if these numbers impacted the $66 million box office much, which they probably. I don't know. I mean, I still haven't gotten information on that because they would have been early, so they wouldn't have actually been on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I think they were just if 5 theaters isn't going to make that big of an impact for like one. It was one
not
show,
huge.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah. But what's interesting is if you price it out, because it was in New York, and it was, of course, in the big city. They didn't do this in, like, Dayton, Ohio or anything like that. But one of them was New York, obviously. And if you go see a 3D IMAX movie in New York,
that's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
Yeah, it's like $20 or $25. Mm-hmm. It's expensive. And then the popcorn, and then you get the DVD. You actually would save money on a package like this if you want the DVD. The only thing I think would have been more interesting is if they did it for a movie that people were really all that interested. There was a buzz for.
Right. I mean, like, this one sold out and it wasn't even a movie that everybody was dying to see.
Yeah. Imagine if they do that for like Avengers 2.
Right.
I think if they did that with Avengers 2, I think you could really sell out.
Oh, yeah.
And that goes to an interesting thing. It dovetails into an article because they mentioned that.
Right. Something that we had actually had on the list last week that we didn't get to.
Yeah. Whereas Steven Spielberg was speaking at an event. He said, I think this is a little bit dramatic how to say it, but he predicted an implosion in movie exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that what you're going to see is you're going to see them going for higher ticket prices for more premium seating. Mm-hmm. And, because everything's going to the blockbuster now.
Right.
And I don't necessarily think that that's going to be the case across. So I think you could do that for like maybe 10 movies a year.
And I think it was interesting. You know, he was talking about how you'll pay $50 to see, you know, a big blockbuster, but maybe for the next Lincoln, you'll pay $7.
Yeah. And I would be okay with that because I think that I think movie distribution has to change because there's so many annoyances now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you do a $50 premium ticket, you definitely have a reason to tell somebody to turn off their stupid phone sitting in front of you.
And I think it's interesting, the article that I was reading about World War Z was talking about how, you know, everybody else already does it.
Yeah.
If you go to Broadway, you're going to pay more for better seats.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you go to a baseball game, you're going to pay more for better seats. Yeah. So it makes sense.
It makes sense. It could work. But I think the premium tickets are going to be for very few movies.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be movies that are going to be absolute total busts on that.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that they expect to do well, but then there's always a couple of those.
Mm-hmm.
And that won't work for those. But it has to be event movies. It has to be Iron Man, Avengers.
I think this was an interesting experiment. And I think it kind of sent a message.
Yeah. Let's see if they can do it in a bigger scale.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see them early anyways. Or not. If they don't
screen
it.
Let's hope so.
All right. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more news and also the heat.
Mm. and welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We just went through a little bit of the news this week.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. We've got some more to cover later.
I know.
If we have time, you never know.
We inform the audience this week.
Yes.
Or not.
Something like that.
I don't know.
But for now, how about we talk about some movies? Should we talk about movies?
Let's talk about your favorite movie of the year.
It is my favorite movie of the year.
Yes.
On the opposite side. All right. Up first, we have The Heat. Sandra Bullock plays an uptight FBI agent who's teamed with an unruly Boston detective, played by Melissa McCarthy, to track an elusive drug lord.
FBI, we recently got intel that you brought in a dealer, Terrell Rojas.
Hey, look who's here!
Detective Mullins isn't back from lunch yet.
I'm sure he won't mind.
Well, he's a she.
I'm Special Agent Sarah Ashburn. Are you about to be interrogated by an officer?
I am an officer, and that's my perp.
Could you just close the door on the way out?
I'll shut the door on you. Will you lay down here, put your head in the door, and I'll slam it about 157,000 times.
Aw, oh, girl, you better run.
Now, I say that that's what the movie is about, but it doesn't really matter.
It's about Melissa McCarthy being obnoxious.
Seriously, the plot of this movie is so thin and so cliched and so predictable. I mean, you've seen this movie a million times. A million times. Usually in the 80s.
Yeah.
And it's the same buddy cop comedy that you've seen over and over and over and over again. Except, you know, they throw in a few more F-bombs because they're constant.
And it's directed by the guy who did Bridesmaids.
Right.
So you have to do that.
And, you know, you put a couple of women in the roles instead of men, but then you make them act like men. So it doesn't really matter.
Well, no, the big question I think on everyone's mind is, does Melissa McCarthy poop in a sink?
No.
Oh!
No, there is no poop in this movie,
wow.
I don't think. Now that I may have been blocking it from my memory at that point. There is no poop in the sink.
Okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb and confirm that.
Before you give your full review, as if we don't know what's coming, I have to share with the audience.
Yes.
The situation,
yeah.
Which I just found funny just watching kind of develop. They originally had scheduled these screenings, this and White House Down, on two different nights, and we were like, oh, hunky-dory, we can go see them both, not a problem.
Yay.
And then they switched White House Down to the same night as The Heat.
Only an hour earlier.
Yeah. Normally in our town, they have things start at 7:30 for a regular screening.
Generally, yeah.
They did it at 6:30. And it's a very inconvenient time for you.
It's terrible.
To get there. Because you have to get there early. So you'd have to get there at 5:30 or 6.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have had to leave home by 5:30.
At least. Yeah. So it was just – we were talking, well, we should probably split. You go see one. I'll go see the other.
Yeah.
It's
been
the easiest way. And you're like – I don't want to see The Heat.
And don't make me see it.
You're like, you curl up on the floor and you're like shivering and in this ball. And you're like, I just.
That's what happened every time I saw the trailer.
And finally I'm like, which one? I'll leave it up to you. Which one are you going to go to? You're like, I guess I'll go see The Heat. So I knew you were excited for this movie.
Yes. And I know I'm supposed to come in with an open mind. And I tried. I tried. And in the beginning, it kind of surprised me. There are a couple of scenes with Sandra Bullock. And it's Sandra Bullock.
Hmm?
She has an Oscar.
Yeah.
She's funny.
She's an Oscar for All About Steve. Isn't that what she wins the Oscar for?
Yeah. Let's not talk about that, shall we? Poor Sandy. So, you know, in the beginning, it's just her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's this FBI agent. She's uptight. It's very Miss Congeniality.
That's what I thought it would be like Miss Congeniality 3 when I first saw the trailers.
And she works in that role. And she makes it charming, despite the fact that she's a character that everybody hates because she's too good and she's smug. But it works.
Yeah.
And she's charming and she's likable. And I'm like, hey, this isn't bad. She's kind of funny. And then comes Melissa McCarthy. And it's just all downhill from there. I mean, it's sad. I would like to like Melissa McCarthy. I would. And I have in some things.
Yeah.
I mean, back before Bridesmaids, when she was in things like Samantha Who, I liked Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. She was adorable in Samantha Who.
Yes. I loved her.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, she's in Bridesmaids and she has to poop in a sink. And it's, you know, that's what she does now. And she's loud and obnoxious and she's mean and she's rude.
That's on the back of her headshot. She does special talent. You know, Scottish accent, pooping in sink. Can I share with you my Melissa McCarthy impression?
Oh, definitely.
You ready?
Please do. Yeah, that's about right.
Is that the entire movie?
I think you just completely destroyed our recording equipment. But yeah, that's about right. And that's pretty much the entire movie. And it's a long movie. It's over 2 hours of
Melissa. Is it over 2 hours?
It is. It's over 2 hours of Melissa McCarthy just being obnoxious. And it's just, it's one thing after another. And it's stereotypes and horrible characters. And, you know, the comedy in this movie is pretty much based on, A, Melissa McCarthy is rude and obnoxious, and that's funny. B, and there are things like, there's an albino character.
What?
Seriously. There's a DEA agent who's an albino, and he's creepy, and that's funny. And this is something that comes
70s.
Up over and over again. Like, he's just got makeup on. It's clearly, you know.
Is this like foul play from like with Chevy Chase and Goldie Hawn from the 70s where they had the bad, mean albino who killed people?
And they make Melissa McCarthy's character. She's just the worst human being in the world. And you're supposed to believe that, oh, she's just damaged. But no, she's a horrible human being. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a part where she goes in and just berates her own boss publicly in front of the entire department. And not only does her boss not fire her on the spot, but she leaves and he's like cowering in his office like, oh, she's so mean. It's like, come on. You're the police chief or captain or whatever he is.
Is she, like, is she FBI too?
No, she's just a detective.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, how does this woman still have a job? She's horrible.
Wow.
And then there's her family, which is a bunch of like white trash Boston stereotypes. There's an entire scene that the comedy is based on the fact that her brother says the word knock instead of narc. And, I mean, this is comedy that we've seen before, and it just goes on and on and on.
It played better in The Fighter? With Melissa Leo.
Yes, it did, actually. It played much better in The Fighter because they didn't make a joke of it. It was just, that's what the characters were.
And Conan O'Brien's sister.
I'm scarred. I am.
You are not happy with that movie.
It hurts.
It's awesome. I've enjoyed this review, I think, more than any review I've ever heard you do. I just kind of want to let you roll with it.
Yeah. And then there's the story. It's just a bunch of cliches. There are so many points where something happens, you're like, yeah, didn't see that coming. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because I noticed that I said this to you in the before we started the show. I said, I realized when I was trying to describe the movie to some people that I have no idea what it's about in terms of what the plot is, what they're trying to figure out, you know, what the MacGuffin is. It's just Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock mismatched partners.
Yeah. Seriously, the story is so far in the background that sometimes you don't even realize that it's there.
Like, what are they doing?
Yeah. It's just, this is all Melissa McCarthy. And so your enjoyment of this movie completely depends on your feelings about Melissa McCarthy and her shtick.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you think it's hilarious how loud and rude and obnoxious she is, you will love this movie. But if not, you will realize that it is just a painful pile of cliches and horrible, horrible comedy.
Okay. What's interesting is before we started the show, we were discussing what we're going to talk in this segment. And I said, you could very well rant for 8 minutes about...
Did I just rant for 8 minutes?
Yeah. You ranted for 8 minutes about The Heat. So...
I can keep going. Do you want me to go into the next segment? Because I could totally keep going.
We have to go to a break. What's your final grade?
I think I'm going to say... that maybe it sucks.
Okay. We are going to go to break. When we come back, White House Down.
Yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Kristen has taken a shower.
I feel much better.
Cooled
now.
Off. You know, we've given her some medication.
This is my little on-air therapy session.
She's the shakes have gone down a bit.
A little bit, yeah.
She's no longer.
And now that I've gotten that out, now I can move on with my life.
I know. You can.
I can block it from my memory and move on.
Wow. Mm. What's worse, Identity Thief or The Heat, real quick?
I don't know. I was thinking about that as I was working on my review, and I think this is a little worse.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because it's just so overpowering. And, you know, at least Jason Bateman in Identity Thief gave it something. But poor Sandra Bullock is just steamrolled here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Let's put this aside. We've
let's talk about something so much better, shall
let's
we?
Let's bury it deep inside you.
Oh, it is buried so deep.
And let's talk about a little piece of news we wanted to give here that we didn't give in the beginning. The Independence Day movie from 1996?
96, yes.
Which was a massive movie, launched the career of Will Smith. Bad Boys came before, but this was the one that really put him on the map. They have now announced there will be a sequel.
Yes.
And the name of it is...
ID Forever Part 1.
Which is the worst...
Seriously,
title.
What does that mean?
Ever.
Can somebody tell me what that means?
I mean, ID4 was cool when it came out, but I mean, they should have just called it ID5. But yeah, ID4 ever. And then if they do the third one, are they going to put the forever and put threes for the E's in forever? I don't know. But the big news is Will Smith's not in it, which I don't think's a bad thing.
It's hard to say. Yeah. I mean, he was kind of the star of the movie.
Yeah.
But you know, they have all kinds of excuses as to why. And the big one is that he's too expensive, which makes sense.
Which is really the reason. Yeah.
Seriously, you're making a sequel to Independence Day. It should probably be pretty big.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, and I think the way a lot of times they make these decisions, because another interesting, I'm going to throw this piece of news in there. Mm-hmm. Liam Neeson, you were very excited to know this.
Woo!
Liam Neeson is in talks to get $20 million.
$20 million
for Taken 3, not for ID Forever Part 2.
I am so in the wrong field.
Well, but here's the thing: I think part of the reason they make these decisions sometimes is they basically ask themselves. They say, "Will the presence of this actor at least make $20 million more for the film?"
Well, yeah. Without Liam Neeson, you don't have a Taken 3.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Like Parley Shore, Taken 3?
I would totally see that.
Forever Part 1. Parley Shore and then like Carrot Top, because I wanted Carrot Top for Lex Luthor.
Well, I think they should reteam Parley Shore with Brendan Fraser.
Ooh!
I am all in favor of that.
Have Brendan Fraser play the bad guy with like a pencil-thin mustache.
Oh.
That would be awesome.
Oh, I hope Hollywood's listening to us.
I'm
take
sure they
note.
But what's interesting, so ID4, part of it, or the Independence Day sequel, maybe they don't, maybe they think just the sequel itself is enough that it's not going to be worth, because it's not going to be $20 million for Will Smith to be in this movie.
Right.
It's going to be $20 million plus points. It's going to end up being $50 million. And I think the reason I would say it's a good thing that he's not in it is because I think he would take over.
Yeah.
Which he tends to do.
Probably.
And he has that ability to. And then he probably put his stupid son in there. We don't need that.
No.
But Jeff Goldblum and Bill Pullman are in.
Well, there's that.
Which
they
is good
probably weren't really doing anything else.
Because what was Bill Pullman doing
lately?
He was in,
brushing his cat, I think.
Yeah.
That's what he's been doing.
And Jeff Goldblum, I mean, he's done like piano concerts and stuff like that. So, you know.
I'll take Jeff Goldblum. Put him in.
I'm all for that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, will Margaret Collin return? That's what everyone wants to know.
That's what I would like to know.
I think they should
inquiring minds.
I think they should have Mae Whitman play the president because she was the president's daughter.
Nice.
And in the first
one. Hey, it makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then the other thing, which is an interesting character development, is there's going to be, as reported, a mysteriously gay character in Independence Day.
Okay. Thank you for letting us know.
Which makes me wonder, are we just ignoring Harvey Fierstein from the first film?
He never came out in the first film.
Yeah, I mean, you never knew he was gay. he was just Harvey Fierstein.
Because Harvey Fierstein plays such masculine characters.
But I just find it, that seems like such an odd announcement to me.
I know.
You'd be like, oh, okay. They'd be like, we're going to have a character with red hair.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
I mean, okay.
That's news, apparently.
Okay. So, spinning off of that news, we're going to talk about White House Down now, which is directed by Roland Emmerich.
Yes, Roland Emmerich.
And in White House Down, the White House is attacked in the movies again. And this time it's up to Channing Tatum to save President Jamie Foxx and all of America.
America.
America!
If you are just tuning in, we are going to breaking news out of Washington.
This is John Cale. I'm in the White House.
They've taken the building and they're holding hostages,
including my daughter.
Alpha One, do you have the target?
You mean Mr. President?
Go, 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 go!
Let's just call
SEAL Team 6 and they come in here to get us.
We have a scrambled sat phone in the residence.
Help is not coming. You just need to get out of there.
My little girl is counting on me right now, and I'm not going to disappear on her.
I saw this instead of The Heat.
Yes.
And
congratulations.
I'm a Roland Emmerich apologist. I like his movies, and they're absolute garbage.
I'm with you there. I can't help it. I enjoy them.
With a couple, like, I did not like his last two. I did not like Anonymous.
But, I loved Anonymous.
Well, you're the literature person.
It's true. Yeah. I'm a lit geek.
Yeah, so that there was that. And then 10,000 BC, please tell me you didn't like that one.
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Nobody.
No.
You shouldn't. I would have to like, just walk out.
I forgot that he did that.
Yeah.
Oh, Roland.
And even, like, 2012.
2012 was fun.
It's, like, 3 hours long. Too.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But it was fun.
But it is his
and
disaster
it had John
movie
Cusack.
Thing. Yeah.
Anything with John Cusack. No matter how bad it is, I'll watch it.
Anything. But anyways, this one kind of goes back to Independence Day. It's not the disaster movie, which is what 2012 and The Day After Tomorrow were.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to sort of like an ID4, although that had disaster movie elements to it. And I have to say, this movie is ridiculous. And I have learned that it's just really easy to take over the White House. Because they always do it, and it's just, you watch the
Well,
things.
They've done it twice already this year.
Yeah, and it's and
Seriously.
It is incredibly derivative of Olympus Has Fallen, but it works, and it's different because it's PG-13,
mm-hmm.
and so it's not as hardcore, it's not as violent. It is more whimsical at times. There's a lot of humor to it, which I mean, it's out of place in a lot of ways.
But a movie like this needs it.
Well, and if you consider Jamie Foxx comes from a comedy background.
Yeah.
And
Channing Tatum is at his best when he's funny.
He is. There's some very funny scenes in this.
Yeah.
And it works. And it's a button pusher. And it's got terrible dialogue and ridiculous scenes. But it's fun. And it's not too long. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's like a TV show for Roland Emmerich. And I enjoyed it. I was surprised. I mean, I didn't quite know what to think. I thought it could be good, it could be bad, but it worked. It's not his best movie, but like I said, it's probably his best movie since, like, Day After Tomorrow.
Well.
In terms of enjoyment,
mm-hmm.
at least. I mean, I don't know how else you could scale that. But but yeah, it is quite literally a flag waver of a movie, and it really lays on the patriotism thick, which is odd coming from a German guy. But...
Hey, whatever works.
You know, this,
he knows his market, man. He is opening a Hollywood movie.
This
you
country
might
has,
as well start waving the flag.
This country has made him a lot of money.
Yes.
But this is, it's fun. It's a summer movie. I think this is going to just kill this weekend. So I give it a kind of rocks. I'm not giving it a full-on rocks because it just gets really rock stupid at points. But I give it a full-on rocks, and that's a good way to lead in the box office.
Okay. You're up.
$100 million this weekend.
Really?
I'm just throwing it out there.
$100 billion.
This movie's going to make $682 trillion. Let me write that down.
Wow.
$682 trillion. Or $100 million.
Whatever comes closer.
Yes. So what do you think is going to win?
It's tough. I mean, I'll give it to White House Down as well.
Okay.
But I'm definitely not saying 100 million or 600 how many?
682 trillion.
Do you even read that?
Yeah.
680. Yeah, okay. It's not going to make
you're
that.
You're reading it upside down. That's
yeah.
Right.
I'll give it a 60.
60? All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens next week. We got to go to break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk DVDs and more news.
Ho, 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 it's magic, you know. Never believe it's that song.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer-Kramer and Kevin Carr. We have covered all kinds of craziness this week.
We've gone all over the place. You've had a rage fest. You've
That was fun. That was the most fun I've had in weeks.
Therapy.
Seriously.
That'll be $200, please. You can pay the secretary on the way out. Anyways.
So, yeah, you have something that you wanted to cover this week.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the 4th of July is coming.
Yeah.
In the next few days.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're a little early for it. We're still in, you know.
You know, we're a few days early though, so you know, that's okay. You want to be prepared for things
absolutely.
Like this.
Yeah. Well, I figured it's always nice. We haven't done this in a while, and sort of like pick movies that are good for suggestions for things to watch that you like to watch at a certain time. We do this sometimes at Christmas or Halloween is great for horror movies. But
this is an interesting one though. Fourth of July
movies, just in case it rains during your cookout. what are movies? Do you have any movies that you particularly like to watch?
I'm going to let you start with this one because I know you've got a bunch.
I've got a couple. Well, so, I mean,
we've got the typical one,
Independence Day, with Will Smith.
Yes, which Welcome I think I actually Earth. Saw it right around Independence Day.
Well,
because that's when it came out.
Yeah,
but
I think it came out. If I recall, I think it was like came out like the second. For some reason, I remember that because I remember it was the first movie I ever bought tickets over the phone for.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I knew it was going to be huge. And it was funny because I called the theater. Because this is before they actually had anything automated.
Right.
I actually had to call the theater and order them. And the woman's like, what do you want it for? I'm like, what do you think? Yeah, no, I want it for whatever lame movie that no one can remember came out in the summer of 1996.
Nice.
So, yeah, Independence Day, that's a good one to watch.
You know, yeah, that's clearly the obvious one.
Welcome to Earth.
Nice.
The other one, then there's like obvious sort of like either, well, either patriotic or there's something that definitely has connective tissue to the holiday. Born on the 4th of July is an interesting one. It's arguably not necessarily patriotic.
Shall we go back old school and go with a musical like Yankee Doodle Dandy?
I have that on my list.
Hey.
Yeah, Yankee Doodle Dandy's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, in along that level,
1776. Nice.
Which is a bit long and drawn out, but if you like the old style Hollywood musical, I think they made it like right before Hollywood musicals kind of went out of style.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1776 is still a fun little movie.
There you go.
They avoid a lot of the sex with slaves. In that movie.
Gotcha.
You got to go to, like, Django Unchained for that.
Nice.
So if they ever make Django Unchained the musical.
That would be a good 4th of July movie, is what you're saying?
1776 style.
Django Unchained 2.
Yeah. Another one that's a very rah-rah, anything war movie, any war movie works because it's a patriotic film.
Okay.
You know, you can do, like, Green Berets is probably the most patriotic.
Sure.
It's ludicrous and insane. And it's like shot in South Carolina or something like that. And doubles for Vietnam.
It's close.
It doesn't look at all like Vietnam. Mm. I've never even been to Vietnam, but I've seen a lot of movies about Vietnam.
And that makes you an expert.
Yes.
Yes.
But I'm going to throw a couple more out there that you may not initially think. How about Jaws?
Jaws. Nice.
You understand why, right?
I do. Well done.
Yeah. For the listeners who don't know, it's because Jaws takes place over 4th of July holiday.
Nice.
And that's the whole thing is they're trying to, so they have the beaches open. That's the big deal. That's why they want to open the beaches.
You have to have the beaches open on the 4th of July.
And why little kids on life rafts are getting eaten.
Hmm.
Oh, well. The other one I want to highlight is that I'm going to be watching over 4th of July.
Yes.
And I know you're going to roll out your eyes at this because you're going to go, again? Or is it Nelson from The Simpsons who does that? Again?
Nice.
Or is that somebody else?
I don't know.
Planet of the Apes. Which
Planet
has
of the Apes.
Nothing to do with 4th of July, but because it's a holiday and it's a thing we're going to be doing a movie marathon with my kids and I'm going to show them all the Planet of the Apes movies.
Really? You're going to be doing a movie marathon with your kids?
I know. Isn't it amazing?
Again?
Again? We're doing Planet of the Apes.
Nice.
Which,
and why not?
Yeah, it's the Apeathon.
Nice.
And the reason we figured we'd do that over 4th of July, that way we don't have to go over and spend time with the family. We can have our own little cookout.
It's a good excuse.
It's a good thing they don't listen to this show. But yeah, that's...
I don't have an excuse. My daughter's birthday is on the 5th of July, and...
Well, that was a mistake.
I did not plan it.
Well, you know.
It was scheduled for me.
Ah. Mm. Yeah, but it'll be fun. We're gonna have, you know, like banana splits, and
nice.
We're making sock monkeys.
Sock monkeys, even. That
Honest to
like,
God, handmade.
Nice
sock monkeys.
Well, that will be fun.
And we got all the five original Planet of the Apes. Then we're gonna watch Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I also got the old TV show.
Nice.
And the old cartoon.
Well.
Yeah, and then we're gonna be playing Monkey News from Carl Pilkington.
Okay.
So it's going to be, and then when we come, when I come in next, the week after to record the show,
yes,
just be careful, I might fling poo.
Great. Good to know. I will be prepared.
You can give me some. That can be yours if you want.
But, no, that's okay.
Okay. Just checking.
You can call Melissa McCarthy for that.
Okay. Ah! All right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Hello.
I don't know who
Whatever.
She is. Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's talk about the next thing. Oh, and I got to say, the next segment up,
yes.
I had an interesting conversation with our loyal listener, Red State Gabe.
Yes.
And he said we've been leaving something out of this segment.
Uh-oh.
We've been leaving out the world-famous descriptor.
It's true.
Yeah. Mm. So I said I'd remind us.
And that's your fault.
It is my fault. Okay. So
you're the one who does that part.
Let's do this segment, which we like to call the world famous
DVD roundup.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. There you go, Red State Cave. All right. There's not a whole lot on DVD. There's some.
Well, there's not a whole lot of good stuff on DVD, is what you're saying.
Yeah. There's The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. Which, did you like that one?
I missed it because that was another one of those things that we had two screenings on the same night.
Oh, really?
And I went to the other one.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember what it was, but I missed it.
Oh. I thought it was funny. Everyone hated this movie.
Hmm.
Nobody liked this movie except me.
Well, there you go.
And Jim Carrey.
At least they had you.
And Steve Carell. I don't even think Steve Buscemi is probably distancing himself from the film. But it's Anton Marvelton and Burt Wonderstone as magicians falling from grace.
Hmm.
One of James Gandolfini's final performances, actually.
Which is kind of unfortunate, I guess.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think there's other stuff. There's always stuff in the pipeline.
Yep.
But there's that. Then there's also The Call, which, as I understand, you didn't like.
No. There's not a lot there this week, but I'm going to give this one my stinker of the week,
actually.
It was pretty bad. I mean,
it's bad in a glorious way, though.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's one of those movies that starts out and you're like, oh, Halle Berry's playing a 911 operator. That's interesting. That's not something we see every day. Yeah. And then it just goes, and it is so ridiculous.
It's crazy.
It is crazy ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, The Call. Then there's also No with
Gael García Bernard.
I don't know anything about this movie. I did not see it.
I've heard it's wonderful. I've heard it's great.
Good reviews.
Yeah.
There's also Upside Down. Have you seen Upside Down?
I have not.
It's an interesting movie about two planets, and they each have their own gravity, and it's a love story between somebody from each planet.
I thought you were going to say that it was a love story between the two planets.
Well, that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those movies that was an independent, smaller production that I have more respect for what it was trying to do than actually like the movie. So
it's that
interesting enough for what it is. It's kind of worth seeing if you're into speculative fiction. And there's also Help on Blu-ray. You may have heard of these guys, the Beatles, the Beatles.
I think vaguely I recall somebody mentioning those ones.
They did a album or two. Go ask Twitter,
because
they don't even know who Paul McCartney is.
Help is a fun movie.
Yeah,
it is.
It was directed by Richard Lester, the guy who directed Superman.
Right.
Three,
yes.
And two when
there
Richard Donner
go.
Got fired. And that's about it. There's a bunch of, Universal's released a bunch of Blu-rays from their catalog and Steelbook sets. The big ones I want to point out would be Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. If you want to catch up on that.
And there's your 4th of July watching.
Yeah.
Right
before,
there.
Before, The End of the World, The World End.
Yes.
Before that movie comes out. And there's also, Paul, they worked on that. And Scarface, Scott Pilgrim, The Incredible Hulk movies, then, of course, Chronicles of Riddick and Pitch Black, if you want to catch up before the next Riddick movie.
Yeah.
Because we all need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
My stinker of the week is Hansel and Gretel Get Baked. I admit I haven't seen it.
But really?
This sounds like
one that you would have seen, actually.
I'm not even judging a book by its cover. I'm just judging a movie by its title.
Yeah.
It sounds terrible.
Sometimes it has to be done.
Yeah. Anyways, review wrap up. The Heat, you said, totally rocks. Best movie of the year.
Yes.
You said it sucks.
Okay, it sucks.
And White House Down, I said kind of rocks. And box office prediction, you said 60 million for White House Down.
Mm-hmm.
I said 682 trillion.
Yeah, there we go.
So we'll see who's correct.
Closer. Or closer.
Yes. Next week, we've got Despicable Me 2 and The Lone Ranger for the big holiday weekend. And that's about it. We will talk to you guys later. You guys have a great week, and we will see you all at the movies.
See ya.